You're going to be going to two places that we're going to focus on. They did good, didn't they? As you can tell, they're better at it than I am, can't you? Can you tell that they lift weights and they've lifted weights and I've never lifted weights? But I do have a great endurance because I've always walked a lot, done a lot of fast-paced walking and have a lot of endurance. So we're going to be going to James 1. So you can turn to James 1, put your finger in there or put a bookmarker in there, and then we're going to be going to 1 Peter 1. The Bible says that we walk by faith. In 2 Corinthians, we regulate our life by faith. And today the title of my sermon is called Building Faith Muscles. How do you build faith muscles? How do you get the strength and the ability to be able to press through difficult things? How do you become stronger in your faith? The Bible says that everyone has been given a measure of faith. Romans 12, in talking about the different gifts that God has given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the ministry of helps, all of the different gifts, there's lots more. He has given you a measure of faith to be able to use the giftings that he has given you for the purposes to which he's called you. So then you can never go to God and say, well, I just don't have the faith. The Bible says that he's given everyone a measure of faith. You can read that in Romans 12. And so he has given us the faith that we need to do what we've got to do. And so how do we grow our faith? How do we get stronger in our faith? How do we progress in our faith? Because we read in Hebrews 11 about the great men and women of faith who pressed through difficult obstacles. Many of them in the beginning were cowards. Moses struggled. He went out and tried to force his way when he realized that he was an Israelite. He realized, though being raised in the house of the Pharaoh, he realized that he was an Israelite. How did he, so he thought by his physical strength that he was going to be able to go out there and to be able to, take over and fight for the children of Israel, and he ended up murdering someone. So Moses was a murderer, and then you have Rahab, who was a harlot, and you have so many in the scriptures that are listed in Hebrews 11 that they call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Faith's Hall of Fame. It lists all the great people in the Bible who did amazing things. Abraham's in there, and Sarah's listed in there, and on it goes. And so how did these people, who had some of them been murderers, some of them been prostitutes, some of them liars, deceivers, how did they become these great people of faith? How did they build their faith muscles to obtain an inheritance in heaven and be able to go through difficult things in their life, to war and to be able to stand firm in the strength of the Lord? Well, James gives us a little bit of insight in James 1 and 3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And then he says this, "So let it grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So we have all been given a measure of faith. We all have faith, but then to let it grow, we are going to have to allow certain things. God is going to allow certain things in our life in order to develop and strengthen our faith. And he says it's important that that happen so that we can continue to grow stronger and obtain a more endurance and to grow up and to be able to be mature. Maturity in the body of Christ is really important. Maturity in a believer's life is extremely important, because how can we be the salt and the light of the world outside the walls of the church and our workplaces when we are not mature and we're not growing in our faith. So God uses all kinds of situations to end up coming along and testing our faith. In 1 Peter 3:8, the New Living Translation puts it like this: all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, we now live with great expectations. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There it is again. Be happy. Be glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. So in James, he's saying you have to have these troubles in order that your faith will be tested so that your endurance will grow. And then we have in Peter, in 1 Peter, Peter is saying these trials will show that your faith is genuine, that it's the real deal, that it's not just something you say out of your mouth, but it's something that you live. And so it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. That takes faith. That takes great faith. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. That is faith. And you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. So we have these things in our life. We, first of all, number one, we have a measure of faith that has been given to us by God. Romans 12 lists out the gifts and the callings of God, brings out to the forefront different things, but it says that God has given us the grace that we need and to be able to do what we've got to do. So that's number one. You have faith. You have the ability to be able to believe, or you wouldn't even be here this morning. So you already have faith. But how is that faith developed? How do we build those muscles of faith? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So far we have an agreement here that trials produce a level of faith. If you can hang in there, if you can go through the test, if you're willing to press through, and we're using exercise as an example, because it's important for us to be able to persevere. So my first, how do we develop this faith? Resistance training. How many of you ever heard of resistance training? Pushing against something over and over for a long period of time is how you're going to develop a muscle. And so what happens is, if I can have Grace come up here and do a little resistance training. Resistance training. It's the constant pushing against something over and over again for a long period of time. So you have to have something to challenge your muscle. Something to challenge your muscle. Just go ahead and start doing a little resistance training. The pressing of against something. A trial is this. So let's say you have a trial come into your life, and it's just something that you have to deal with that one day. So you have to have something to press against to end up becoming stronger and to develop muscles. And so the resistance training, the constant pushing, the constant coming against something. Have you ever just felt that over and over? You're just pressing against something all the time. All the time. You're doing great. Isn't she doing good? That resistance training. Listen, you can do that for one day. And you can get through the situation. But what if the trial lasts longer than a day? Okay, then now we're starting to talk about resistance training. It's one thing to resist at its onset. It's another thing, or to resist in a day. It's another thing to wake up the next day and have that same trial. And then you wake up the next day and you've got that same trial. And you wake up the next day and that trial is still there. And you still got to deal with it. And you still got to deal with it. And you still got to... Resistance training is the ability to be able to endure the pressure that comes against you on a daily basis without giving up. Resistance training builds perseverance. That's good, Gracie, so you can survive. And what happens is this resistance will build your faith muscle. It's going to build your faith muscle. Where there's no resistance, there's no development. When everything's wonderful and great and you can sit on the beach and eat cake and ice cream, you're not having resistance training. That's not resistance training. That's just that's a vacation. That's enjoying. But how do you, and you're not, you don't need faith to sit on the beach and eat ice cream. You don't need faith for that. But when you go through a trial or a difficulty or a hardship, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be family related, whether it be on your job, you don't know if you're still going to have a job the next day. What, no matter, that is resistance training, because every day you've got to get up and you've got to grab a hold of God to believe that God is going to take care of you no matter how the outcome. Resistance training, the trial doesn't go away. It lasts for a long season of time, and you have to be able to endure it. This builds perseverance. What is perseverance? It's doing something despite difficulty. Perseverance is doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. In other words, it takes faith to keep believing in what God has said to you. Even though the enemy is constantly coming against your brain every day, it takes faith to believe what God has said when you don't see anything at all. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, the opening verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. If you could see it, it wouldn't be building your muscle. Sometimes it takes a long time to work out before you start seeing results. It takes a long time of resisting and fighting and going, lifting weights in order to see a muscle begin to start developing. Perseverance is doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So you may not see an outcome for years. And years. And every day you get up, you go into your prayer chamber and you pray and you pray and you pray. I know people in my life that I know have strongholds in their life. And every day I get up and say, Lord, break this stronghold in their life. Break that stronghold in their life. God, bring them out of that situation. God, show yourself strong. The prayer and the intercession is my training of keeping my faith strong and alert for that person who can't even pray for themselves. I keep believing, though I see nothing at all. And it develops the muscle of faith inside of me, develops my faith. The second, Daniel, if you can come on up here. Let's do this big bar thing, whatever this is. Repetition, another thing that develops your control is repetition with control, okay? So we understand that resistance training is enduring something for a long period of time, resisting the trial, resisting the ability to give up constantly. It's a lot of pressure on a daily basis that's building your faith muscle. But repetition with control increases endurance. Notice I said repetition with control. Because it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Danny. Start showing us. Repetition with control. Okay, it doesn't matter how much weight I put on this if he doesn't have control over it. But if he can take what he has and he can lift it high, go slow, and has control over the weight, then that is building muscle. It's not just building bulk, it's building strength. It's building endurance. It's building control under the pressure. That's Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, I like that. What was that? That was good. So how important is it to be able to do repetitions with control? It's very important. It's not just learning once again to lift more weights, okay? So it's not just having lots and lots of trials, because people go through storms in life. We have things assault us every day in our life, you know, different things that are going on in our life. I think about my husband, because there's been a threat that they're cutting 300 jobs, and you know, there's been a little concern that one of those might be his. And I've watched him, because what they happen is they tell you that before Christmas, and then you have to wait. So every day I've watched him, and as he would at times wrestle with, well, what's going to happen? You know, do you think I'll lose my job? No, God is faithful. No matter what happens. And if that would happen, then God's got a plan for me. And so it's constantly repeating the things that God has said to you and the promises that God has to you, and believing in the faithfulness of God, grabbing a hold of God by faith, and continue repeating, God is faithful to me. God will keep his promises. God is not a man that he should lie. If this changes, God has something else for me. God has the ability to be able to bring me through this. If my finances get tight, God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. God has, do you understand? It's building faith with control. Because if you don't, control is a byproduct of the Spirit. So we also want to lift and strengthen our faith with the ability to be able to operate in the Holy Spirit, with the fruits of the Spirit and the giftings of the Spirit, but we want to have control over that. So for long periods of time, it is being able to lift weights over a long period of time, over and over again, with a level of control that builds a steadfastness. Now, we don't talk about the word steadfastness, but it's a very important word in the Scripture. It's used throughout the Scripture from beginning to end. Steadfastness defined is a sure, dependable, reliable, consistent, unwavering. Doesn't it sound like marriage? I just threw that in, honey, for you. Okay, steadfast, staunch, steady imply a sureness and a continuousness that may be depended upon. Boy, that just sounds like somebody solid as a rock, like you ain't gonna move them. Have you ever met people like that? It's impressive. The winds and the storms of life just can't stop them from serving the Lord, no matter what happens. I've seen them up. I've seen them down. I've scraped them up off the floor, and I've watched them just keep getting back up again. There's something about some. It's not that you fall, right? It's not that you know, there are times when these weights have dropped. There are times when we have laid them down. But the reality is that if we continue to pick them up and constantly go after it, we're going to see God do some amazing things in our life, and we're going to see ourselves develop. And what is the purpose of the Christian life? The Bible says that we are to be conformed into the image and the likeness of our God. And that everywhere that you go, people should be able to see God in your life. And it is that light and that salt. Salt is a purifier. It is that light and that salt that causes people to look at your life and say, there is something different about them. They're not just your average person. There's something different. And that brings glory and honor to God. And that also shows them that that causes two things to happen. They either don't want to be around you because of the salt and the light, or they want what you have. And that gives you an opportunity to be able to witness. Steadfastness is that unmovable steadiness, that dependability of faith, that constant resolution. It's a resolution. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. No matter how long this trial lasts, I'm going to persevere. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lay down my faith. I'm going to keep pressing on. Steadfastness endurance defined means the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or a difficult process or situation without giving way. When I first started working at the nursing home, I started in August. And when I first started working there, I didn't realize I'd been a stay-at-home mom other than pastoring, which is more of a flexible schedule. It fit into my family life to where it was flexible. But when I started at the nursing home being an activities aide, I had to be on my feet all the time. You never got to sit down. I didn't know that. Until I got there. And then I realized that the only time that you were able to sit down was on your lunch break, and that was 30 minutes. You were able to sit down for 30 minutes, and that's all you've got. So I'm there for 10 hours when I work, and I sit down for 30 minutes, and that's all I get. I guess I could take a break, but I don't, because if I do, I won't get my work done, so I keep working. When I first started, my legs hurt so bad, and they ache so bad that I would just come home and cry. I would just come home. My husband would feed me, and I would go back to the room, to my bedroom, and I would get in my bed, and I would just sit there and cry like a baby because I was in so much pain. My legs hurt so bad. My feet hurt. It was all I could handle. But now it's no big deal for me to go in and work 10 hours. You work 10 hours and you're on your feet all day. My legs don't hurt. They don't get achy. I'm able to endure a lot more now than when I first started. Don't you think that where you are now, look how far you've come? I mean, look at your life. Just for a moment in your own mind, flashback to your youth, and look how far you've come. I mean, I look back at my life, and I see that the Lord has been with me, and that through everything that I've been through in my life, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the joyful times, my faith has endured. Though there were times when I wanted to quit, there were times when I wanted to stop what I was, there were times when I felt so hurt that I just thought, I am just done. But often in life, when my faith fails, the Bible says that He is faithful. Yes. And that He cannot deny who He is. He's faithful. And so that has sustained me through the course of my life. You know, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, He has sustained me. The faith that He has given me, the measure of faith that He has given me, not only has He been faithful to develop, but it has kept me. It has kept me. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. The control part comes into play once again. It's not just being able to do repetitions, to constantly go through trial and overcome them. In those trials and in those tests, you want to be able to have self-control. You know, because then if you don't and you get right in the middle of a trial, then you're going to get angry. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to get the spirit of slap on you and want to just take somebody out. I know, y'all don't do that. It's just me. But I mean, you get frustrated in trials. Trials brings you to the end of your human ability so that you will eventually tap into God's power, because His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when you come to the end of yourself, that's when you usually reach out and grab a hold of God and say, I can't do this. You've got to help me. Isn't that true? And it's usually right in that time of letting of the understanding that you can't fix it or you don't have control over that in that certain situation, that you grab a hold of God and take a hold of Him. And the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, comes into play, and faith is geared up to another level. being able to control yourself in a trial is extremely important, because you don't want to have a bad attitude all the time. I know that, you know, when I first started working, and I'm getting stretched every day, getting stretched and stretched, and I was getting frustrated, and I would have a bad attitude, and I would come home and I would be tired, and my kids would say, wherever our mom went to, we need her to come back and you need to leave. I mean, you know, but in those trials that we go through, we have to try to maintain a good attitude. And it is realizing that our attitude is bad, going back to God and saying, Lord, I need you to help me with my attitude, or I need you to help me keep my mouth shut because I'm about to have a verbiage fit. That we learn to have self-control. Okay, so it's important that though we have trials of repetition, it's important that we also have the fruit of self-control. And also another thing that's really important is eating right. And you say, well, what does that have to do? Well, when you lift weights and you are building muscle and you're working out and you're lifting and doing all that stuff, or you're doing your aerobics or yoga or whatever you're doing, you burn a lot of energy. You burn a lot of energy. Trials cause you to burn a lot of energy. They tax you emotionally. They tax you physically. You play out in your mind what could happen. You play it out in vivid pictures. How many does this besides me? I play it out in vivid pictures. If I'm going through a trial, I think, okay, this is what could possibly happen. And if this happened, then that would happen. And if that happened, then this would happen. And this could happen. And I think, and I see the whole thing happening before anything's happened at all. I just play it out in my mind like it's like a rolling camera, and we play it all out. It takes lots of energy during trials, and you're expending physical and mental. You're trying to have a relationship with God, and so in that process of the trials that you're going through, that builds our faith, because the trial is there in order to build the faith that you have. The trial is there. Some trials come because we do silly things, and we end up having to walk through that with God, grab a hold of God and walk through it. Some trials come just for no reason at all. They're just there. And then some trials come because of other people and other circumstances. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? When my first husband was killed, I had no control over that. That was a great trial for me. That was a trial. Is God going to take care of me? How am I going to pay my bills? Who's going to take care of my children? Who's going to be my father? The pressure, the trust. I had to keep going back to God. That was a great trial for me. Lots of energy, lots of spiritual energy, lots of things I had to fight through. But in the end, the Lord prevailed, and I continued my relationship with God, and it built my faith. And that's what trials are meant to do. But that came not by my choice, but it was allowed by God. Then you have times when I've done stupid. Has anybody done stupid besides me? You ever done stupid? And then you had to pay for stupid. I mean, you know, Dave Ramsey says that, you know, if you do stupid, you got to pay the stupid tax. And so, you know, sometimes then you're in a situation, and you got in that situation because you just made a stupid choice. You knew it was wrong when you made the decision. You knew it was wrong, and now you're in the middle of stupid, and what do? That's a trial of another kind, and we just go to God and say, Lord, help me. I've done stupid. There are consequences to this. I feel the consequences. I feel the pressure from this trial. I know the situation that I'm in. I put myself in it, but I'm still going to ask you to help me, Lord, and to bring me through it. And God will be faithful to meet you where you are and be able to help you through that situation. But in the process, it's going to develop your faith and your trust in God, because none of this is going to be wasted. God doesn't waste an opportunity to help you know him better. He's not going to waste an opportunity. And so even when you do stupid, if you cry out to the Lord, he will hear you, answer you, and he will walk you through. Does that mean that there won't be consequences? There's consequences for stupid. But the truth is that God will help you walk through them, and he'll bring you out on the other side of that with a good outcome, But yet you will learn to know God better. And you will learn a reverential fear of making that decision again because it was difficult to get through. Sometimes God delivers you instantly. Sometimes you're going to walk through it because He knows what's best for you. So what do we do when we're in these situations that we have? Eating right through these trials is important. What does that mean? A steady diet of the Word. You can't fight the enemy if you don't know the Word of God. So getting in the Word, I don't know how many times, over and over again, in the Scriptures, the Word will minister life to me, give strength to me, help me through that difficult time. And then trials calls you to be intimate with God because He's all you got. No one really understands a human being like God does. Your wife or your husband, your children, your family. No one knows you like God knows you. And there's this relationship that I have with Him that when I'm going through a trial, I can expose everything to God that I may not be able to tell you. That I may not be able to tell my husband, that you may not be able to tell your wife, that you may not be able to tell your kids, but you can go to God and develop through this trial an intimacy with God, a trust with God. Nobody, Lord, I can't tell a single soul, but I'm telling you because I need you and I need you to help me. Through the trial, you have to eat right. You got to have the Word. You've got to have intimate time with God. You're developing this relationship. He's not wasting a thing. Prayer is the key to the King's heart. It opens up doors for you that you would have no other way except to come to Abba Father and lay down your situation before Him. If you do not eat right, you don't have energy. You lose it. Have you ever ran for a long period of time, worked out for a long period of time? I work 10 hours. I only get a 30-minute break. When I come home, I am starving. I am absolutely starving. If you work out, you know what it's like to lift weights. You know what it's like to run. You're an athletic person. You can remember all that. You're hungry. How important is it for you to eat or you're going to faint? You'll faint in the day of adversity if your spirit and your strength is not upon the Lord. If you don't get your food from Him, then you're going to faint. Eating healthy is extremely important. The Word of God, intimate time with the Lord, prayer, fasting, all of that. Whatever the Lord, whatever it takes to get your relationship with God in tune in a trial, that's what God's going to use it for. And then having the right equipment to work out in. That's why we all wore sweat outfits today, because you just don't go to the gym in high heel shoes. You don't enter a trial just thinking, I got this. And this is going to be easy for me. I got it all together. I'm smart. I mean, I've been through trouble before. I can get myself out of this. You don't go in there with your high heel shoes. Men, you don't go into the gym with your dress shoes on and your khakis. There is something about dressing properly. When you go to the gym to work out, you wear the right clothes. You have the right equipment. You don't go in there half-heartedly. You go in there for a purpose. Trials are for a purpose. Trials were meant to increase your faith. He said, count it all joy when you enter into trials, because this trial of faith is going to produce endurance. It's going to produce trust. It's going to produce a dependency on God, not a dependency on yourself, but a dependency on God. God has given you a mind. He's given you great ability. He's given you physical strength. He's given you the physical resources that you need to do what you got to do. You know, I love the Bishop Jake because he says, I'm as good looking as I need to be to do what I got to do. And you know what? You have a measure of faith given to you to do what you need to do. But God wants it to increase. He wants it to grow. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be intimate with Him. He wants to develop you. And then not only that, but He wants to bring you out on the other side for a joyful victory. Victory is important. Paul said, I'm not running this race to lose. I'm not running the race to lose. He said, I'm not running this race to lose. I'm running the race to win. And in the end, when he was getting ready to be beheaded, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. The trials and the testings build our trust and our dependence on the Lord here. But then it has a weight of glory for us when we cross over to the other side. And let me just say that 100 out of 100 people are going to die. Unless the Lord comes today, you ain't getting out of here alive. You will enter the grave. And the dash between the dates, the date you was born and the date that you died, that is what is your life. The dash between the dates is your life. It's the sum of your life. And through that, through all of that, we want to have known God better. Not that it was perfect, not that we got everything right, not that we were just, you know, we are just so great and wonderful and fantastic, but that we developed an intimacy and a trust in God and a faith in Him that cannot be deterred, that cannot be stopped. I told Grace when she came in the kitchen the other day, I said, I'd rather die on a battlefield than die doing nothing. I'd rather die for what I believe in than to do nothing and to have nothing to believe in at all that's worth my courage, the boldness, the tenacity, the willingness to come out victoriously on the other side. There is something, that's why Paul could say what he said, because he fought well. And he fought with faith. He said, I finished my course and I have not abandoned my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm just crossing over to the other side. And my faith is still strong.